Bibles, go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 6. Tonight, we're going to talk about an interesting message, especially with a wedding going on and everything. This message, we're going to call this Money and Marriage. We know we're going to get into something here tonight. Now, know this, that I'm not preaching along this topic just because we had a wedding here in service tonight. But this is something that the Lord's been dealing with my heart upon. We know that this past Sunday we talked about a marriage. Last Wednesday we talked about marriage and things pertaining to finances a little bit more. This past Sunday, last Wednesday, we were on a topic concerning marriage. So this is kind of another installment in a series of messages that we're being taught anyway. And it happens to correspond perfectly with Savante and Tiffany's wedding. Amen. But it wasn't the reason why it's being preached, you know. We're very careful. I know that for myself, I'm very careful not to just preach something that would fit, but it's got to be God-ordained.
That's right.
I don't preach anything until God speaks to my heart and moves upon my heart and moves within me. I don't just go and select a sermon because I think it would fit. We got to pray. We got to seek God. We got to hear from heaven because God has something He wants to feed us in this hour. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this is going to help every single one of us, not just two people that just got married. Amen. We all need to hear this, whether we've been married for about 6 minutes, 6 years, or 60 years, we need this. Amen. Open your Bibles with me tonight to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to go to verse 21, and we are going to talk about money in marriage. This past Sunday, I gave you two principles that will keep you from having money as your master, right? Number one is stewardship, that you realize that you own nothing and nothing owns you, right? You need to live by that principle. You own nothing and nothing owns you, right? And the second thing we looked at is that relationships are more valuable than money.
That's right.
Now, if you're here tonight, especially if you're visiting, because we have a special event and you hear a preacher using that term money, it might make you nervous. Well, I'm going to use it tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to say the word money in church. Money, 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 and money.
Yeah.
Money, money, money. Because when they hear a preacher think that, they think that there's some hidden wicked agenda behind a preacher saying that. There is no hidden agenda behind what this preacher is saying, except that I want you to be blessed and want you to know how to obey God and want you to be able to stand before God. And I also want to make sure that you have a life that isn't destroyed with financial pressure. Because we're living in a time, we're living in a country, we're living in a world that is so radically out of debt. Or in debt, so radically reckless with money management. It's destroying homes. It's destroying children. It's destroying retirements. It's destroying nations are being destroyed. People are being hurt and killed because of debt crisis and money crisis. And that same spirit that's in the world is going to try to creep into your life. And we got to make sure not to let that happen. Amen. Because money has a certain level of power and influence with it. We need to make sure to handle it correctly. Because money that is mismanaged will destroy those things. It'll destroy marriages. It'll destroy homes. It'll destroy schools. It'll destroy governments, local governments, national governments. It'll destroy so many things when money is mismanaged. So we looked at those two principles that, first of all, you must be a steward and you must understand that nothing is yours. That the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell in it, right?
Yeah.
Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8, God said, the gold and the silver is mine.
Right.
He said in the book of Psalms, I own the cattle on the thousand hills and I own the hills too.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. That's
right?
That's right.
He owns it all. It all belongs to God. So obviously God isn't in need of our finances. And here tonight, I'm not just going to be teaching you how to give to your church. I'm going to be giving you some sound practical things from the Word of God so that you can live on them and make sure that money doesn't hurt your marriage and hurt your life.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You don't have to be married here tonight to benefit from a message like this.
Yeah.
Amen. God didn't put money on this earth to destroy your life.
Right.
He put money on this earth. If you look over there in Genesis chapter 2, and we read around, right around the 14th, 15th verse, maybe a hair before that, 9th or 10th verse. And he put Adam in a place. It was called Eden. Now, Eden was a big district, and one section of Eden was a garden that Adam lived in. And he said that around Eden was a district called Havilah, wherein there is gold, onyx, beryl, and all these precious things. And God said, and the gold is good. The first mention in the Bible of gold or finances or money, God said, I put gold in the earth, I want Adam to go find it, and that gold is good. God has nothing, he has nothing against money. He has everything against what money tries to do, and that what it rules over your heart. And we talked about that Sunday morning, not letting money be your master. We know that the devil is going to try to get money to replace the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. Right? Yep. We're in Matthew 6:21. We can go ahead and bring that up. But we read verse 24 here on Sunday, where it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hold to the one and be against the other, he will love the one and despise the other. Jesus said, you cannot love both God and money.
That's right.
You can't serve God and money, right?
That's right.
So we know this, that one of the greatest adversaries against God actually isn't the devil, it's money. It's how people manage it. Because we saw this on Sunday, that the devil himself fell from his state of grace because he was a poor money manager.
Yeah.
We read over there in Ezekiel chapter 28. Remember how it said Satan and the iniquities of his business transactions.
Yeah.
He was greedy.
Yeah.
He was a poor money manager. He got filled with pride because of wealth and all this stuff. He tried to overthrow God, and he eventually fell, and he became Satan, who will spend eternity in the lake of fire, right?
That's right. That's right.
So we know this, that however Satan fell, he's going to try to use the same exact devices against you so that you fall. He's going to try to use poor money management in your life to destroy your marriage and destroy your home.
Sure.
Let's go over there to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Jesus is speaking. Amen. And look what he says here. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Money is always a heart issue. You need to get a hold of that right now. Money is forever tied to the heart of man. And we need to understand that. Okay? Because in context, what Jesus is talking about here, he's talking about building up and storing up for yourself treasure in heaven. He's talking about having the right priority. But he's also giving us a spiritual law that your heart is forever tethered to wealth. Whether you have wealth or you don't have wealth, it doesn't matter. That your heart is always going to be influenced by money. Here's what we need to understand, that money is a revealer of the characteristics of a person's heart. Money reveals a person's honesty. Or it reveals, of course, their dishonesty. Money reveals a person's honor. Because whatever, do you know this? That whatever you spend your money on, you have placed value or honor upon it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so many times, you ever heard this? I don't know if you've seen this on these auction shows or you know, these kind of shows that are about buying and selling. And they always say, well, what would you, you know, what's it worth? And you hear this statement all the time, something is worth what somebody else is willing to pay for it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It's worth what someone else will pay for it. So when they pay a certain amount, sometimes people will pay well above what something is worth because it's worth more to them.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
That's right. And when a person purchases something like that, it bestows honor or value upon it. So you could say it this way. What Jesus is really talking about here is that where you spend your money is it reveals your affections.
Yes.
You could say it that way, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Money reveals the heart. It reveals a person's honor. Money reveals a person's responsibility. I'll tell you what, if you want to find out how responsible a person is, give them a few bucks and let them and watch what they do with it.
Oh, yes. Come on. This is good. Come on.
Get ready to have your toes stepped on here tonight. Pastor Tim, don't you realize that? You know, hey, we're just going to preach the word. We're going to preach the word. And I'm not going to be afraid of anyone's faces. It says money reveals a person's selfishness. Right? These are all heart things. Because Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You could say where your treasure is, that's where your responsibility lies. That's where your honor is. That's where your honesty is.
Oh, yeah, you can say
That's where your responsibility is. That's where your selfishness is. That's where your character is, your integrity or your affections, right? This is the Tim Stallman translation of Matthew 6:21. You know what is valuable to a person by what they spend their money on. You know what's valuable to you by what you spend your money on. Just real simple stuff here tonight. Praise the Lord. You won't value something until you spend money on it. If you get something, if something comes easy to you, it won't. You won't value it. The worst stewards are people that they manage things and wealth and money and property, things that they get easy, they do not value, and they will neglect it. Oh, yeah. Some of you that are raising your children, and praise God, you go out, you buy them a brand new car, but they never had to do any chores, or it doesn't have to be a brand new car. My goodness, it could be a clunker, for all that matter, but it's how they obtained it. Did they obtain it through ease? Did they obtain it, or did they obtain it through a work ethic? You know, I'll tell you what, when people obtain something through work and honesty and building, they will value it. They will value it. So that's why now God doesn't mind you giving great things to your kids, but you better teach them that they're not going to be lazy in life. They're not going to sit by. They're going to make their way, so to speak. They're going to work. They're going to be responsible. They're going to be a good steward. Oh, here we go with the children thing. It is not acceptable, even at a young age, for kids to throw and break their toys. Now, of course, will kids do that? Of course they're going to try to do that. Of course they're going to pick up their train set and use it as a billy club on their brother's head. Like my boys do. You know, everything instantly becomes a weapon. It becomes a projectile. It becomes something that can be launched across the room, or it can be the object of a fit of rage. And they get upset and they take, wah, boom, crash. I'll tell you what, you know, you better do something to discipline your child away from that. Because if you teach them that they can just break and destroy and have it come back to them easily again, you're gonna put the wrong value. They're not gonna have anything of value on that. I tell you what, when I see my kid, pick up a toy and start, I mean, they could even just be playing and be completely happy and crash, bang, boom, and plastic parts are flying all over. No, I stop them from doing that. Well, no, you're just stopping them because you don't want them to make a mess all over the living room floor. No. It's about teaching them stewardship. That if they're not going to take care of something, they're not going to qualify for something better. The reason why some of you have not received the manifestation of your faith and what you believe in God for is because you're a poor steward of what you have right now. You will never get a better car until you've learned to thank God for the one you have and take care of the one you have as if it's your last one. Because God blesses and honors stewardship. Are you ready for this? You know what stewardship is? You ready for a definition for stewardship? Stewardship is, number one, taking care of something as if it belongs to someone else. Taking care of something as though it belongs to someone else. You ready? Here's another definition for stewardship. Stewardship is building wealth for the master instead of building wealth for the world. When I mean master, I mean the capital M, Jesus Christ. Building wealth for the kingdom of God and not building wealth for the kingdom of the world. All right? We're going to get into that here in a little bit. But we're looking at Jesus and his words here. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said this. You know, three topics that Jesus talked about most is heaven, hell, and money. Heaven, hell, and money. His three main topics he ever taught on. Heaven, hell, and money. Because what you do with money, if you're not careful, you know, if you mismanage it, it can determine where you go, heaven or hell. That's absolutely right. Yep, there's people that their heart is so owned by money that they won't give their life to Jesus Christ because they think that Jesus is there to take something out of their life, to take their wealth. Jesus is not here to take your wealth. God is not trying to take anything away from you. He's trying to add to your life. He wants to add peace and joy. And yes, He will warn you if you have a wrong thought or a wrong relationship or a wrong affection for money. He will warn you. He will reveal idols in your life. There's people out there that you can have two people, you know, and one of them has a brand new car, the other one has a brand new car. But to one of them, it could be an idol. One of them could be putting God first and could have, you know, had been responsible with finances and had managed their debt and paid off debt and handled money correctly. And they built up and they built wealth for the kingdom of God. And that car doesn't own them because they obtained through the principles of godly values. Then the other person could have obtained through worldly values, and they love that car. It's the affection of their heart. And here they are. Two people can own the same exact thing, but it's all about how they obtained, their motives, what was in their heart, because where their treasure is, there their heart is as well.
That's right.
So it's not about what you have. It's about how did you get it.
That's right. That's right. Come on.
Amen. Doing a little teaching here tonight. Here's this. We need to understand. So, you know, I just come back to that. You need to train your children to be good stewards of things. Be a good steward of your room. You know, don't scream and yell at your child because they accidentally spilled, you know, some Diet Pepsi on the floor or something like that. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're going to have a lot of opportunities, especially when they're younger. You know, they're going to just naturally want to break things and trash stuff. Some parents just let it happen. I've been in people's homes, you know, and the kids are running around. They pick up stuff, crash, crash, crash. You know, I'm just standing there. You know, of course, I mean, it's not my business or anything. And the parents don't say anything. And toy parts are flying. Oh, we'll just have to buy them another one. You're going to have to buy them a lot more than another toy. Because what you're doing is you're allowing them to be a bad steward.
Yeah, that's it.
It's not because, I mean, it doesn't matter. Maybe that toy was a dollar toy over at Family Dollar, and maybe it's not worth a whole lot. But I tell you what, the principle is worth a lot more, because them working that principle will turn and teach them how to build wealth for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Some of you, are you glad you're not me here tonight? I'm just hearing from the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to speak as God speaks to my heart. I'm just going to be the megaphone to report to you what He says, right? We report, you decide. We're like Fox News, right? But some of you are being a poor example to your children in how you take care of your property. You go around your home, and the thing is, it's covered with weeds and destruction, and things are growing up everywhere, and the grass is not mowed, and you know there's, you know, the grass that's about this high, which is bad enough, but then those long shoots that look like stuff that cows eat.
Come on.
You need to understand that that's a principle out of God's Word. And you'll pass that along. And do you realize that when you manage a property that poorly, you know, God's not going to bless you with something more. You let your kids just grab a crayon and go on the wall or on the you know, sheetrock or whatever, even if it's on a painted wall or something, you let your kids do that. Hear the holy hush. Oh, ooh. Step it on some toes. Well, God loves you tonight. He's trying to help you. See? We want your kids, you know, to be raised in, you know, of course, a loving environment, but one of responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Because what we're talking about here is more than just saving you a few bucks and having to repaint the wall. We'll save you a lifetime of trouble with that child if they will be taught how to take care of their stuff.
Yes. Amen.
Don't just let your kid grab the toy hammer and go over and bash a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
You know? Don't let the kid grab a crayon, grab a marker, and go to town, you know, on the woodwork in your house. You're going to have to watch that stuff. Don't let your kids come out and see the front of your house and it looks like it's, you know, something out of Willy Wonka's, or that Even better yet, I've seen this commercial. It's for appliances, outdoor appliances, weed whackers, chainsaws. And this guy steps out of his garage door, and he can barely get through all the mess, the twisted vines, and the house is just covered with weeds and stuff. There's some houses around this area that are looking like that. You ready to take a look in the Word of God? Let's just go. You want to take a little rabbit trail? Not planning on going here. Go to Proverbs. I believe it's chapter 24. Praise the Lord. Go to Proverbs 24 and verse 30. You never understood that your lack of landscaping was keeping you back in life. Say, Pastor Tim, this just seems ridiculous. Who cares if I mow my yard? Who cares if I have my house looking neat? Who cares? What business of it is yours? You're right. It's not my business. I'm not saying because I'm trying to make it my business. I don't care. I don't live there. You know, I mean, there's a chance I might not even come step foot in your house. I mean, you know, I'd be happy to come see you or whatever, you understand. I'm just saying. I'm not saying this to get into your business. I'm saying this to help you. Look at this. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Look what he says. This is the word of the Lord. I went by the field of the slothful. Uh-oh. And by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. A man of void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Wow. You think God didn't care about that stuff, but he does. He absolutely do. You say, well, no, it's just about my landscaping. No, it isn't. It's about your stewardship.
That's it.
It's about your responsibility. Because you have a piece of property. And if it belongs to you, wonderful. Maybe you're paying a mortgage on it. It belongs to the bank. Regardless, it belongs to God. Amen. And he said, I went by this house, this vineyard. I went by this field. It was all grown over. It was just a big mess. And God says that's void of understanding. Because people that care or don't care for property like that, they are void of understanding, knowing how that's subtracting from their life. It's subtracting from their life. All the stuff you aren't getting blessed with because you don't take care of the stuff that you do have. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Nettles had covered the face thereof. The stone wall was broken down. There's more than that stone wall that's broken down. Their character. Because I'll tell you what, you want to take a look at somebody's character. Look how they take care of their stuff. Pastor Tim, what does this have to do about money and marriage? Because I tell you what, the way you handle money, the way you take care of your property will be directly reflected of how you care for your spouse. If you won't handle money, if you're reckless with money, you'll be reckless with a spouse. If you're reckless with your home property, you'll be reckless in your marriage. Why? Because your responsibility has no boundaries. If it's part of your taking care of your home, if you're irresponsible with your property, that irresponsibility will look to bleed on into your marriage.
Come on. You're right.
Look at verse 32. He says, then I saw this neglected home, this vineyard, right? Or business. Could be a business. Some people wonder why their business isn't taking off. I'll tell you why. Because it looks like a dump.
Yes, come on. Come on.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Tim. You're helping us tonight. I'll tell you what. Excellence will always cause God's grace to flow. You wonder why some of these national restaurant chains do so well? I'll tell you what. You just notice a difference. There's excellence. People are out there criticizing Chick-fil-A. You know, I'll tell you what, there's probably no more excellent business run in this nation than Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Absolutely. You ever been to one of their restaurants?
Oh, yes.
How absolutely clean it is, how polite their people are. I mean, I mean, the peaceful music they got playing in there. By the way, it's praise and worship. Do you ever realize that? You ever go in there? I'm like, hey, wait a minute. We sing this song in church. They just don't have the words, but I recognize it. See what they're doing. They're operating in such a way that brings the grace of God on the inside. They close every Sunday. I mean, even if they have a little curb and they have a little terrace that's 2 feet wide, you see that grass, it's all perfectly manicured. Their landscaping is all perfectly done. Why? Because that business owner, Dan Cathy, he knows a little something about how God works. And that God blesses responsibility. He blesses excellence. You will never come in this church and find chip paint.
Yeah, right. Come on.
Unless someone just did it. Yeah. Now, don't you walk over to the wall with your set of keys and say, oh, yeah. Well, then our ushers will be like, oh, yeah. You won't find coffee stains on our carpet. You won't. You won't find, crayon scribbles on the wall. You won't find all that. Say, well, Pastor Tim, your building's brand new. Well, we've been in here for 2 years. And I watch over it like a hawk.
Yeah, that's right.
And people say, Pastor Tim, how's this church growing and growing so fast and stuff like that? First of all, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with anything more than, one, that God's word is put first and foremost here. And two, the excellence. That we want you to come in and we want you to know that you're loved and that people are polite and they're kind. And that when you walk into the bathroom, it's not... rusty grates, dusty air vents, and all this stuff. Right. When you come in, it's clean.
Yeah.
And praise the Lord, there's so many of you that make that happen.
Yeah.
That you are so excellent with our cleaning staff and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Why are we so careful about that? Because of these verses.
Yeah.
He says, because I saw it and I considered it. Look what he says here, verse 32. He says, I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. That's one sermon you don't want to be preaching. Do you realize that the front of your home is preaching a sermon to your neighbors?
Yes. Come on.
Do you realize that?
That's good. Come on.
Your sock drawer is preaching a sermon to somebody? Probably you and God, you understand. But you know what I mean? Your lawn is preaching a sermon to somebody. Do you realize that? Come on now. That yard that is 4 weeks overdue from being mowed, I'm not talking it got a couple of days long. But you've let it go. It's growing all over. It just looks like a mess. It's preaching a sermon to somebody. It's preaching a sermon to somebody. He says, I saw it, I considered it well, I looked upon it, I received instruction. You don't want to be that. You don't want your yard being the sermon of what not to do.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to look at, I tell you what, you go into churches, you can instantly tell why they're not growing.
I know
that upsets you. I'm not saying that from a judgmental standpoint, but we need to get with the program. Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a lesson that every church has to listen to.
Right.
Family church isn't, beyond this or whatever.
Right.
We have to do this too, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But, I've been called to churches. I've had pastors come and visit with me and things, and they say, Pastor Tim, can you just look at this and help us? And I've walked in there. I say, I could be in here for 3 minutes. I know why your church isn't growing.
Yeah.
It smells dirty. Your floor is littered. Your heating grates are rusty. That's absolutely right. You can walk into someone's house and know why they're not blessed, because filth always attracts the wrong spirit. Aren't you glad you came for a wedding here tonight? Wait, let's get Savante and Tiffany back up here and get them remarried so everyone can start laughing and have a good time again. Pastor Tim, don't you realize there's people that have never been in here before and they're going to get the wrong idea? No, I'm sitting here. This is the message that God's delivering because He loves you. Because God's going to reveal those cracks in our facade, isn't He? He said, I looked upon, I considered it well, and I received instruction. Meaning that man's overgrown, neglected property preached a sermon to him of what not to do. All right, let's get back to the originally scheduled program here. It's a spiritual law. Money is an extension of your values of the heart. Money is an extension of the values of your heart. Money will always reveal what you truly believe. Oh, absolutely. You will know what you believe by how you spend your money. Don't write me any letters. Not going to read them. I've preached messages like this before, and I get a few letters in the mail. How's your about you money-minded preacher and all that stuff? Like, it's funny, I didn't send you a letter about being money-minded. You're obviously the one upset. I'm not upset. Who's the money-minded one? I can't help it that your financial toes are getting stepped on. Money is a key indicator of a person's spirituality. It is an indicator of how spiritual you are or you aren't. How and where you spend your money, you'll find out how spiritual you really are. And this is what you need to know. The way a person spends their money is what a person truly is. I say this to the young people that you are looking for a spouse. You do not consider any spouse until you find out how they spend money. Because how they spend money is what they are.
Yeah. Come on.
We're going to get into some examples here in a minute. It's going to be fun. Everyone's going to love me again. Money is a reflection of what a person truly believes. All right, here's what you need to know about marriage and money. The health of the marriage will perfectly mirror the decisions that couple makes with money. How a couple handles money will be a direct reflection of the health or the strength of that marriage. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'll tell you what, and I say this to the people that aren't married yet, and you're looking for a spouse, like I said, you better find out how they spend their money. There would be some serious questions I would have as a young person. If I look over it, now I have an excellent wife. I mean, my goodness, there's just none better out there. I say it all the time. She is just tops. And she's responsible. She's everything a spiritual woman, mother, wife. I mean, she is the greatest example of anyone I know. Because I live with her. I know it's the real deal. Is she in here? Am I getting brownie points? Where'd she go? Someone make sure to remind her. We'll have to get her on the live stream and watch the archives. But I'll tell you what, if I know what I knew now, and I was a young person, if I was looking for a spouse, I'll tell you, there would be some serious questions I'd be asking any potential spouse. You ready for some? Here's some things if you're looking to get married or you're going to be married someday. And we'll also talk to the people who are already married. There is some things I'd be asking them. First of all, I'd ask them, a potential spouse, how do you spend your money? How do you spend your money? Meaning, what do you spend it on, right? The second question I'd ask, do you tithe? Are you a tither? Because I'm not marrying anybody who's not out under the financial curse. I heard this story. This is so awesome. Dr. Dufresne said this to me. He was telling me this story of this young man who was in his church. He was a police officer and had gone through a divorce. He had three children, and his wife left him. It was a real ugly thing, and he was healing up from it and doing well, and started looking for another wife. And this man, found a woman in their church that, was very excellent and so on. And he, was asking her out on a date or whatever. And, she was kind of skeptical and stuff at first. And she finally agreed. And she got into his car. And they're on their way out to a date. And she asked one of these questions. I mean, on the first date, one of the first things that she said, do you tithe? And it put him in the hot seat. Because he had gone through a hard time. And he said, well, you know what? I've kind of slacked on my tithing. I haven't been tithing lately because I have to pay child support and stuff like that. She said, turn the car around.
Come on.
Turn the car around. Date's over. He said, what? What do you mean the date's over? She said, I'm not riding in a car that's under the curse.
Yeah.
I'm not riding in a vehicle that's not protected and blessed by God. Take me home. The next words out of his mouth, I'll tithe, I'll tithe. He said, I am a tither once and for all right now. You know, and she said, okay, all right. Said, all right, well, we can continue on. You know, but I mean, we need to have that kind of mentality. And the long story, the end of that story is that that young man, of course, became a dynamic helper, leader in that church, started tithing, obeying God, and they ended up getting married and have an awesome, awesome, you know, marriage today. But she asked that question, do you tithe? Because you don't want to be marrying anybody. Who knows better? Now, they might not know better. Well, then you're going to have to make sure they know better. Third question I'd ask is, how much debt do you have? How much debt do you have? That's the question I would ask. Why? Because their debt's going to become your debt. That's absolutely right. Say, Pastor Tim, but no, they love each other. Well, good. But we're going to see how much they love each other when the creditors are ringing the phone off the hook, chasing them down, putting liens on their wages and garnishing wages and all that stuff. We'll see how much she loves him when she's eating peanut butter and jelly every day. The electricity is getting shut off. We're going to see how much they love each other. Say, Pastor Tim, love will get us through it. Well, yeah. But I tell you what, money is. Do you understand that the statistics show that 70% of all divorces in America are as a result of financial pressure? 70%. 7 out of 10 divorces that occur, they cite financial pressure as the number one reason for their divorce. So you need to ask, what kind of debt do you have? I'll tell you what, ladies, if he shows up in this brand new car and he's got spinny wheels on it and this thing is blinged out brand new, got the sweet wheels and all this stuff in it, you know, don't be impressed by that. Don't run back to mom and dad or your pastor and say, oh no, he's financially set, he's okay. Have you seen the car he drives? My question isn't, have you seen the car he drives? Has you seen the payment he missed? How did he get that car? What kind of payment? Say, well, no, it's okay. He doesn't owe anything on it. Mommy and daddy bought it for him. That's even a bigger invitation to get out of Dodge.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Yeah, he's given that car. He's never worked a day in his life and this and that. And, you know, he just if he wants something, he just charges it and mommy and daddy pay for it, or he charges it and mommy and daddy don't pay for it, and then he's in real big trouble. You better find that out. Next question I'd ask is, how many credit cards do you have? I know I'm making some of you upset. Just we need to understand this. Because we're living in the hyper-spending age, where everyone's just been taught by our society, if you want it, go get it. Charge it. Do you realize that the statistics say that Americans spend $1.10 for every dollar they earn? $1.10 for every dollar they earn. That's amazing. They're going 10% in debt every year. Well, that's nothing compared to our federal government. Our federal government is spending $1.52 for every dollar it receives. See, it always starts with leadership.
Sure.
Whatever the leadership does, that's what the people will do. Our government officials are reckless with finances, and so America is reckless with finances.
Come on.
And I'm not saying that. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I don't belong to either one of them. I don't look at it through those eyeballs. I look at it through the eyeballs of God. And there's people on both sides that are just reckless spenders. Come on now. Oh, come on. How many credit cards do you have? Next question I'd ask them is, do you have a budget? You have a budget? Are you budgeting your money? Do you have a plan for every dollar that you make? And then the last question I'd ask them, if they're a Christian and they should know better, do they budget some kind of honor into their monthly expenses? Do they budget honor? You need to budget honor into your finances. Number one is the tithe. Number two is the offering. Number three, there should be gifts of honor somewhere in your life. Parents, kids, grown kids that have an income. Are you giving something to mom and dad? Do you realize that the Bible says that there comes a time when children, grown children, when they get a job, should start giving money back to their parents? Do you realize that? Do you know that?
Yeah,
we preached on it a few weeks ago, didn't we?
Oh, yes. That's right.
That there comes a time when we should be giving money back to our parents, even if it's just a little bit to start with. Every week or every month or whatever you choose, send mom and dad a check.
Yeah.
It might look at you like a deer at a new gate or something, like a cow at a new gate or whatever. I guess deer aren't really behind gates all that much. But they'll look at you and they'll think you're weird. And what are you doing? What's this for? It's not my birthday. It's not a holiday. It's not Father's Day. It's not Mother's Day. It's honor. Because the Bible says, what did Paul tell Timothy? Tell the children to repay their parents. What did Jesus tell the Pharisees? He said, you have denied the word of God for your tradition because you told children, grown children, that they could give their money to church that they should have given to their parents. And Jesus rebuked him for it. Jesus rebuked them for it. He said, no, that money wasn't the temples. No, that's what the tithe is for. That's what the offering's for. But that gift of honor should have gone to your parents. That's absolutely right. Have you budgeted honor into your budget, into your monthly expenses? Go with me to Luke chapter 16. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now we're going to get into some things for you married folks. Just simple stuff. Financial pressure destroys a marriage. You don't want to get into a marriage. You know, I sit down with a lot of young couples who are getting married, and I always have the grill the groom speech. Yeah. Grill the groom, you know. Savante, you went through the grill the groom speech, didn't you? It was pretty easy on you because he's a responsible young man.
Amen.
Amen. First question is, you got a job? Of course, he's in school. Now, Savante, aren't you glad you're the subject of the sermon here tonight? But, of course, he's in school getting a job. Going in the right track. But I give the grill the groom speech to everyone. And I've had a lot of grooms in my office like, up. You got a job? No. But I love her, Pastor Tim. No, you don't. You think you do. Love doesn't just say, I love you, baby. Love says, I have something to offer you. I have a home waiting or an apartment that I pay for. I'm not going to bring you home to mommy and daddy's house.
Yeah.
There's something so not cool about carrying your wife over the threshold into mom and dad's house. It doesn't have to be Shangri-La.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, you're going to have to grow up and be a man. And get out there, because a lot of these grooms, I'll say, okay, you want a wife, you love her, and maybe you are a good spiritual young man, but can you afford her? And I'm not saying because she's a material girl. Just, can you afford? Do you have something to offer? Are you paying bills? Are you making your way? Are you being responsible? Are you being a good steward? Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. The grill the groom speech. You have a job. What's your plan? What's your future? You know, what kind of debt do you have? Are you charging those rims on your car? Are you charging them on a credit card? You know, he pulls up, got some kind of beast, you know, bass beating system. I'll tell you what. That right there is enough just to tell you no. If they come up slamming 3 12-inch subwoofers to pick up your daughter, dads, be a man. Step out there and say, no. I don't care if it is Toby Mac. Especially if it's Toby Mac. Well, it's Christian rap. There's no such thing. I know, I'm kidding. I know there's guys out there that Christian rap and people love it and get people saved. I'm just kidding around. Kind of. Listen, is it anointed? The question you need to ask yourself, would God listen to that in heaven? If he does, oh dear. If they have been reckless and selfish with money, if they've been a person who's charged up an enormous debt, there's because there's a heart problem somewhere. There's a heart problem somewhere. And you need to be careful not to enter into matrimony with someone who's got that serious of a heart problem. Now, am I talking about, you know, what if they have school loans? No, we have to be balanced here. Of course, school loans, they're low interest. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're talking about someone that's been reckless. Just charge it if they want it, can't pay it. Anyway, let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke 16:10. Don't hate me for my stance on Christian rap. You just need to ask yourself, would Billy Graham listen to it? Maybe he does. You know, maybe Billy Graham's having a cup of coffee with Toby Mac right now. I don't know. I doubt it. Glory to God. Diversities of gifts and operations, right? We just want the anointed stuff. I don't care how old it is or how new it is. I just want it to be anointed. Amen. Aren't you grateful for worship leaders that know how to... They know the anointing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go to Luke 16:10. Jesus speaking again. The words are read in my Bible. And he says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon..." What is unrighteous mammon?
Money.
Money. "If you have not been faithful in money, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" True riches. Obviously, it's going to have to pertain to marriage, because marriage is a God-instituted, it's a God-institution. That God is going to bless the home through the marriage. A marriage depends on whether or not the man and the wife are following God's principles for their life, right? So this would pertain to marriage first and foremost in a home, right? Because marriage is the beginning of God blessing the home. "If therefore, if a married couple or a leader of the house," you know, so on, you could put that in there, a married couple, "if therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" This is why there's so many people in life who are miserable. Why? Because they're unfaithful in regular money. They're unfaithful. Where does true joy come from? God. Where does true peace come from? God. Where does true strength come from? God. Where does true health come from? God. What are all those things? Where does a successful marriage come from? God. Amen. Where does it all come from? Our Heavenly Father.
Yes, 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 yes. That's right. Amen.
And this is why so many people are so miserable. Because Jesus said, you're not going to see any of God's true riches until you're first faithful with money. Don't you ever dare say God doesn't care what you do with your money. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He can't bless you until you're responsible with it.
Yes, that's right, that's right, that's right.
He cannot, he will not, he cannot go against his word.
Right.
And there is much more to handling finances than just tithing and giving.
That's
Those are the first things we do. I'll tell you what, if you know to tithe and you don't, then you're out of the club. You're not in the True Riches Club. You don't qualify. You don't. Say, Pastor Tim, ouch, that hurts, and you're hurting people's feelings. No, I've been there. I remember a time in my life when I knew God but didn't tithe. And guess what? I was broke. I lived in an apartment that my pastor, he said, wasn't fit for a dog. Not on the inside. The inside, we were clean people. But I mean, one of the first times, it was the first time Reverend Randy ever came over to my apartment. We got up to the top of the stairs. There was two police officers and two guys standing there. One neighbor had just pulled a gun on the other neighbor, and we're trying to get through the riffraff just so I could get to my front door. And Reverend Randy's like, does this happen all the time? It's like, no, sometimes they actually shoot at each other. No, they didn't actually. But one neighbor, after that, had gone over to another neighbor and couldn't get through his door, so he literally pounded a hole through the wall, knocked out bricks and all this stuff, and went through his wall to get him. My neighbors didn't walk in the love of God. And I remember coming home and, you know, in my 20-year-old car. And I wasn't driving a 20-year-old, I wasn't driving it because it was a classic. I found it in somebody's yard with a for sale sign, and it said $600 on it. And all I did is I go up to the door, I said, will it start? Yeah, it starts. I'll take it. Four bald tires. I mean, it burned as much oil as it did gas. You pull into the gas station, fill it up, both ends. Oil and gas. And I remember pulling up in my 20-year-old car that was burning the smoke screen, and my wife and I, we look up on the telephone pole, and there's a guy up there with a ratchet going, ring, 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 ring. And I looked up there, and my neighbor comes down, one of my gun-toting criminal neighbors came down, and he didn't say hello, he didn't say hi. We're just up there like, wonder what that guy's doing. And my neighbor comes up, he's like, your power's getting shut off. You know why that power was getting shut off? Because I'd already shut the power off down here with not being a tither.
That's right.
That's absolutely right. And I started realizing, oh my goodness, how's God going to commit to my life true riches? Yeah. Until I first start honoring Him with His commandment that tells us to tithe.
Yeah. Amen.
It doesn't just, not just a family church doctrine, it's a church doctrine.
Right.
To tithe a tenth part of your income to the local church.
Yes.
Not just family church, but to your Baptist church, your Methodist church, wherever you call church. You need to be tithing to it.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And then you need to be giving offerings.
Yes.
An offering is something that is above and beyond the tithe. Yeah. You aren't giving God anything by bringing Him the tithe, because the Bible says it already belongs to Him.
That's right.
Giving is above and beyond the tithe.
Amen.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. But now we have to talk beyond that. We can't, because there's a lot of people that tithe and give who are charging up a mass huge debt on credit cards. And they're wondering, why isn't this tithing business work? I'm tithing, charge, 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 charge.
Come on.
I'm giving, charge, 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 charge. Because you've been a bad steward. Listen, I've been a bad steward in my life. It took me 10 years to reverse my basement level credit rating. There was a time in my life when I was 19, went off to college, started getting all the offers in the mail, credit card this. Yeah, sign me up. We'll give you $1,500 today. Before 5, all right, let's go down there, let's get it. You know, buying stupid stuff, buying motorcycles I couldn't afford, just buying all this stuff. I mean, within a couple of years, I had all these credit card offers, maxed out. I mean, my credit rating was tilt. You know what I mean? It was just off the chart. I mean, I should say off the charts, but not up here. It was down here. It was off that kind of chart. You know what I mean? And it took me 10 years to get that of good stewardship. Once I got saved at 23 years old, it took me 10 years. And just this year, I got my credit rating back up to the A++ or whatever it is.
Amen.
Because I had to get responsible. Yes. Had to, you know, learn these things and learn these principles and stuff like
yes.
that. We are not going to be blessed. Tithing isn't going to work for us. If we're thinking, I'm tithing, I'm giving, charge, 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 charge. And you're going greater and greater in debt. That's absolutely right. You need to know a few things. Now, here we go. Married people and unmarried people, like, this is where it comes all together. Now, you ready? Here are the questions that we need to ask each other. If you're married, you need to be asking your spouse this. You need to be asking yourself this. This is the things you need to consider. Are you ready? And we'll get ready to close. Ready to close. Now remember, I'm doing pretty good on time right now. Just remember, there was a wedding at the beginning of this service. All right, here's the things you need to be asking yourself and your spouse. Have you agreed to a budget? A budget. Do you know what a budget is? America would say, no. Because our Congress and our Senate hasn't even passed one for 4 years. What is with that? I mean, if you run a house like our government runs its finances, you are going to be in trouble. And that's what's happening. They're taking the lead of the government, and that's what's happening in homes. Have you agreed on a budget? A budget means you give every dollar an assignment.
Yes.
This is why there is so much lost money in your finances. Do you know what lost money is? That's my term. Lost money means you never gave it an assignment, so it went somewhere and you don't know where. It's just not there. I don't know where did it go. Did it go to excessive eating out? Did it go to the movie theater? Did it go to the new shoes that I bought that I couldn't afford? Where did it go? Lost money. If you don't give every dollar an assignment in your personal finances, it will go and be lost, and you'll wonder what's going on. This tithing business isn't working. God's not blessing me. Here's the fact. God is blessing you. God has provided more than enough. But we've been poor money managers, and we forgot to give every dollar an assignment, and so stuff is just going everywhere. I sit down every month and budget my personal finances. I give every dollar an assignment. I sit down and say, okay, first is my tithe. Then my offering, and then my giving. There's giving I have. I give to ministries, you know. I give to certain individuals and other ministers and stuff like that. I go through my giving, and then I start going through my car insurance. I go to the house payment. I go through, you know, all the other stuff, right? You start listing your expenses. You start giving every dollar an assignment. You got to make an assignment for how much you're going to spend on groceries. How much are you going to spend on gasoline for the car? You're going to have to give that assignment of what are you going to spend on recreation? Because this doesn't eliminate fun out of your life. But you got to plan for that. Can't just say, woo, you know, here we go. Well, we wanted it. This was fun. We had a great time here and with our friends, and we went to the mall, and we all were just one, you know, happy little gaggle of gooses, and we all have our shopping bags, and you come home and you realize you spent, you know, several hundred dollars, and that's going to come from somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, the car insurance doesn't get paid. All of a sudden, your car payment doesn't get paid. And all of a sudden, extra finance charges come on to you, or they increase your interest rate. See, we need to understand this stuff. Are you on a budget? Are you giving every dollar an assignment? Hallelujah. Why? Because once a budget is agreed upon with you and your spouse, the budget becomes the boss. And when the budget is the boss, then neither one of you are to blame. Do you see how taking and making a budget will relieve contention in the marriage? Why? Because you both sat down, you both agreed.
That's right.
And you both gave your word This is the budget. We're going to stick to this. This is what we're spending this month. And once the budget is on the paper and you've agreed, the budget is the boss. One of you wants to go and break the budget and just do something, you know, radical and be excessive in your spending? No, we can't do that. We already said ahead of time, I already gave you my word that I wouldn't break the budget. See, this is what America's not doing.
Right.
This is why America has lost money. That's why America is so financially inept. Because they don't give every dollar an assignment. Meaning, start out with your income and budget it down to zero. Meaning, there's not $1 that you didn't give an assignment for.
Right.
In that assignment, there should be savings.
Yes.
Remember that? Remember when America used to teach about saving money? Well, we're going to be teaching on how to save money. We're doing a personal finance seminar. Personal finance seminar. Because this is what stewardship is. Building wealth for Jesus, not building wealth for the world.
That's right.
You know, when you've recklessly spent on credit cards, whose pockets did you line?
That's right. Come on.
The creditor.
Yeah.
Money left the hands of Jesus and into the world.
Yeah.
You realize that?
That's right.
You realize that you are a representation of Jesus on this earth if you are a believer. You are a reproduction of Jesus Christ. That is what you are. He lives on the inside of you. You are the body of Christ. And once that money leaves your hand and gets swallowed up through interest rates, through finance charges, through overtures, through all these things where we throw away money, it leaves the kingdom of God and goes into the devil's kingdom. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 22:7 that the borrower is servant to the lender, and the rich rule over the poor.
Yes.
Isn't that why?
Yeah.
See, America has failed to budget. All right, are you guys on a budget? If you don't know how to budget, well, we got something coming up. October 3rd, 4th, and 5th, we're doing a personal finance seminar. Going to be teaching you how to become financially free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Number two, are you paying beyond your minimum payments? Oh boy, that's a question that if I was, you know, if I had a daughter and some guy was going to be picking her up and, you know, she wanted to marry some guy, that's a question I'd have her ask him. Are you just making minimum payments? Because if you're making only minimum payments, there is no plan to pay off debt. How is God going to bless us if we have no plan to pay off debt?
Right.
Have you budgeted in your personal finances money that will go beyond the minimum payment to start getting you out of debt? Even if it's just a few dollars, you're going to have to do it.
Yes.
Good. Amen. Come on now. You must have a debt reduction plan. Don't you be building wealth for creditors. You got to be building wealth for God. We must remove the power of the lender over our lives. We got to get away from the lender. We have to. Because why? They'll rule over us, and we're not to be ruled by anybody except for Jesus. So are you paying a little extra on that car payment? Are you paying a little extra on that credit card? If you are even paying a minimum payment on a $5,000 credit card payment, you will pay that for the rest of your life. Or about 45 years. If some of you are younger than, you know, and you could live and see 45, obviously, you know. But 45 years for a lot of people is the rest of their life. It would take about 45 years. Yeah. You know. Everyone went, hooray, when President Obama went after credit card companies and started making them and forcing them to eliminate certain finance charges and stuff. You know what they just did to make their money back? They jumped all their interest rates sky high. Do you know the average interest rate on a credit card today is 24%? 24%! That $100 pair of shoes will be like a $1,000 pair of shoes by the time you pay it off. Come on. Are you paying off your debt? Uh-huh. How will we expect? See, this is what else it means to be faithful with money.
Yes.
Being faithful with money isn't just you tithing and giving. It means you're tithing, you're giving, you're living within your means.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. You are paying off debt. You're getting out of debt. You have to be faithful with money for God to bestow true riches upon you.
Amen.
Didn't Jesus say that? If you are not faithful with unrighteous mammon, how will God trust you with true riches?
That's right.
That's where everyone wants to be. God, I want the true riches. I want the happiness. I want the joy. I want the health. I want the strength. I want this. And we never realize that we lack those things because we're poor money managers. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Oh, Pastor, you're just railing on it, railing on it, railing on it. No, I'm delivering a message by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And it's time that you listen. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Next thing you need to ask yourself, what are you doing with your credit cards? Kind of already touched on that. How many credit cards do you have? You need to ask yourself that. Every single one of them are out to destroy your life. Everyone. Pastor Tim, oh, no, I have a credit card, and I spend on it, and I pay it off every month. Well, that's responsibility. You know, we do that here at the church. We have one here at the church. We use that, and we pretty much pay it off. You know, and I understand the convenience of that. I understand that. But most people, they have half a dozen or more credit cards, and, you know, and they're paying minimum payments on them. Credit cards are destructive. I personally don't have one. Pastor Tim, but no, for me to shop online and to reserve a hotel room, I have to have a credit card. No, you don't. You can do the same exact thing with a debit card. Do you know that statistics say that when people shop with a credit card, they spend at least 20% more than if they would have just shopped with cash?
I believe it.
That's absolutely right. And this is why God isn't trusting people with more. Where are those financial miracles that we see in the Bible? There was financial miracles, right? Peter and the fish, right? He let Jesus use his boat for one day, and he caught so much fish that his net couldn't even hold them all. Where is that financial miracle? There's people today that are letting Jesus use their boat, so to speak. They're giving, and they're giving, and they're tithing, and they're tithing. Tithing works.
Yeah, it does.
The Bible says that if I sow a seed, I'll reap a harvest. Yeah. Whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. Speaking of finances.
Yeah.
Right? And if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. I know a lot of people that are sowing big time. Where's the harvest? Because God's not a liar. His word's working.
Right.
His word works. I refuse to believe that it's not working. So there must be a door open somewhere. There must be something getting away from us that we don't understand. And what it is that we're giving and we're being generous to people, but we've left the back door open with debt, with failure to pay debt, with a failure to save, with a failure to live within our means, with a failure to start showing God that we're going to get out from the power of the servant of the lender. Uh-huh. So what are you doing with your credit cards? What are you doing with your credit cards? Here's another question, too, because we got to balance this. Are you stingy? Because that's a financial trap, too. You stingy. You know, there's people that are actually oversavers, where they'll save, 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 and that's good to save. But they'll save, 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 and then they won't be a blessing to their wife. You know, God, I know a lot of guys, they just save, 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 save money. And then the wife says, man, do you think we could ever go on a vacation? No, we can't go on a vacation. We can never afford it. Well, do you think we could? No, 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 no. Because they save, 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 and they never do anything. That's a trap, too. But what the greatest trap that's facing America today is overspending. Overspending. I would say that a vast majority of people have had a problem in America with overspending as opposed to oversaving.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you get some help here tonight?
Yes, very good.
Did you get some help here tonight? Start looking at your financial situation different. Why? Because you have to be faithful with money. Oh, no, 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 Pastor Tim, we hate it when Churches talk about money, I know, so does the devil. The devil would love for you to just be coddled by a church and never teach you the dangers of debt, never teach you the importance of budgeting, never teach you the responsibility of paying off your debt and living within your means and being responsible with money. There's some churches, they won't even say the word money in their pulpit because they are so terrified of what you're going to think of them. They're so terrified. They're so scared. I mean, seriously, for those of you at Family Church, I mean, we'll preach whatever God has to preach on. But there's probably some visitors here tonight. And I'm not saying this to try to criticize anyone else's church, but just ask yourself, when's the last time your pastor taught you about the dangers of reckless money management? There'd be a lot of people, not everybody, but there would be people say, I've been at a church for years, never heard one message about tithing. I've had people in my office all the time, Pastor, I've been in church for years. No one ever told me what tithing was. No one ever told me what giving was. No one warned me about debt. No one ever talked about personal finances because they were so scared of what people think. Better get out of that garbage.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you know what? Jesus isn't scared of what you think.
Yeah. That's right.
And really, ultimately, the devil's not scared of what you think, meaning he's going to be relentless regardless.
Right.
Now, we're... have all the authority in the world over him.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yes.
But I'm just telling you, you know, he'll take advantage of what you don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's pray here tonight. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Father God. We've been helped here tonight. Father, we thank you for this teaching. We thank you, Father God. Father, that where our heart is, or where our treasure is, there our heart is also. Father, we know that money is a reflection of our affections of our heart. Father, we know that money can reflect our honesty, our integrity. It'll reveal our character. It'll reveal our honor. Father, we know that money will reveal our spirituality. Father, we know that how we handle money will be directly reflected in the marriage. Father, we know that no man can see true riches on this earth. The riches of God, the riches of heaven, the riches of your blessing, and the riches of your grace. Until we handle money correctly. Father, we understand that this nation and our world are poor, poor money managers. And Lord, we understand that it's part of a plan of the enemy to destroy this nation, to destroy people's lives all around the world, to crush them under economic gloom. But Father, we understand that if we'd stick to the principles in your word, you'll always provide. You'll see that financial miracles happen in our life. You will take care of us. You will provide. You are faithful, Father God. You are so faithful. Father, we just give you the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, before we dismiss here tonight, I want to ask you if you made Jesus the Lord of your life. What have you done with Jesus? Because Jesus is the greatest and most valuable gift that anyone has ever given to you. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior with your mouth, speak it out, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We've talked about tonight what you do with money. Well, let's talk about what you have done with the greatest and most valuable thing, and that's Jesus, his blood, his sacrifice. The Bible says that God sent his perfect one and only Son to this earth to pay and to suffer for our sin. That Jesus was nailed through his hands and his feet. A crown of thorns was placed upon his head. A spear was thrust into his side because he was taking the punishment that you and I deserved. And the Bible says there's good news, that we don't have to go to hell, but we can ask Jesus to be our Lord. And we will be heaven bound and we can receive him into our life. If you're here tonight, eyes are closed, heads are bowed, I'm not going to try to point you out or make you come forward or give you a microphone and make you talk to the church. But if you're here tonight and as you hear the message and you realize that you're not right with God, that you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'll tell you what, there is no eternal life apart from Him. Because there is coming a day you will stand before God and He will ask you what you've done with Jesus Christ. Have you made Him your Lord and Savior? Did you live for Him? God is a divine parent who gave His divine Son. He's going to expect a decision on our part. If you're here tonight and you know you want to make Jesus your Lord, I'm not going to make you stand up, but I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. I will lead this congregation in a prayer. You can pray right there in your seat and ask Him into your heart. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. But if that's you here tonight, could you lift your hand now? You know that in your heart you need to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. Is there anybody? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that you just know as you sit here tonight, there's something on the inside of you telling you. Maybe you're here tonight and you've walked away from God and you want to rededicate your life. Maybe you are a Christian, but you've walked away and you'd like to rededicate your life to Him. If that's you, could you lift your hand? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that would like to rededicate here tonight? Let's all go ahead and pray this prayer with me. If you lifted your hand, pray it. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again so that I could be saved. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. If you're here tonight, if you made Jesus the Lord of your life for the first time, I encourage you, find one of these cards in the seat pocket in front of you. Go ahead, fill that out before you leave. Find me, find Pastor Brad, find one of our ushers. Hand it to them. It just says, today I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Don't be ashamed of the Jesus you're asking to save you. Jesus said, if you declare Him before men, He'll declare you before the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to get ready to take up our regular Wednesday night offering, tithes and offerings. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. If you're making out checks tonight, you just make them out to Family Church. It doesn't matter what color envelope you use tonight. You can use usually we use our white envelope for our regular tithes. We use our yellow envelope for the offerings. Let's just go ahead. The Bible says that when we come before God, we rejoice as we give. Father, we praise You and worship You tonight. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to bring the tithe, to give the offering. Father, we love You and praise You. Father, we could never repay You for what You gave to us. Father, You provide the jobs we have. You provide the clothes we wear. You provide the food we eat. You provide the homes we live in. You provide the cars we rode in tonight. Father, we give You the praise. We give You all the glory. And we all say together, but my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Folks, what we're going to do, Savante and Tiffany, we're going to be having a coffee and cookie reception out there in our narthex. Everyone's invited to stick around and have some time of fellowship. It's going to be wonderful. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be fellowshipping for just a few moments. Folks, if you see me disappear, I do have an appointment here right after service that I'm going to be taking in my office. So if you wonder where I went, I'm not trying to hide even after a message like that. Amen. I look forward to spending time with you, but if you don't see me, I'm going to be having an appointment. Folks, we love you. God bless you. You are dismissed.